Welcome to Murderers and Monsters. Before we begin today, a brief warning. Contents may be disturbing and language may be explicit and inappropriate for young listeners, so listener discretion is advised. Hey guys, we're back. This is Marie.
And this is Shelby.
We're so glad you guys are back with us today. We've got a really good case today, but before we get into that, Shelby, how has your week been?
It has been a week, just dealing with everything. It's our wedding's like right around the corner, so it's just the pressure's on, you know.
Yeah, those last few days.
Oh gosh, I think we're 30 something days now away, so just trying to make sure we have everything together. It's just been really, really hectic, but yeah. It's all coming together. How is your week going?
It's going good now that I know that I'm going to be out for the next 3 days. It's really good.
That's right. Me too. Me too. I can't wait.
So you're going on a girls' week.
Yes.
Your little girls' weekend with your friend?
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. Definitely need to have that weekend for just to decompress and
absolutely
reconnect with myself.
Take a
work,
minute.
School, podcast, you know, kids. Almost husband is just everything just kind of runs together.
Yeah, I mean, you got a full plate, girl. You do.
Yep. So it's time for just a little break.
Yeah, well, hey, you deserve it after everything you do every day, girl. I hope y'all have a great time.
Oh, thanks.
So do you have any book or movie recommendations this week?
Well, I would say yes, but I haven't started on this book yet. Okay. I haven't really had time for much reading and reviewing the last few days. So fortunately, I'm not prepared for any recommendations, but do you have any?
I do, actually. And I want to talk to you about this. It actually came up on my Google search today. Yeah, it is a case that is very, very, very fresh. It is out of Griffin, Georgia. And it is a case of Tyler Schindley and Krista Schindley. Each of these people stand, husband and wife, of course, they stand accused of attempted homicide and attempted homicide, the second degree, and attempted malice murder. They also face charges of cruelty to children in the first degree, second degree, third degree, battery, simple battery, false imprisonment. So,
wow,
there's your list of shit. So what happened? They live in this really nice bougie neighborhood. It said that their house is like $447,000. If that gives you any idea what kind of neighborhood they live in. But their neighbors just happened to be looking out the window. It happened this month in May. Just I think a day or two ago. I'm not exactly sure, so don't come at me. But the neighbor looked out the window, seen this child walking down the street, looking really haggard, all this kind of stuff. So she was worried. She runs out to him, and he said, "Please don't take me home. Please don't tell my parents. I'm just hungry. I just want something to eat." This baby was 10 years old. He was 36 pounds. And he, for the last 3 years, is what they're guesstimating at this point, had been kept in a locked room, starved, no water, no water to drink, also no running water, no toilet paper, no way to get in touch with anybody as far as technology, anything like that. Nothing.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he had been, and that's what these people had done to him. Wow. His mother and father had done this to him, and they had four other children in the house, is what they say. And
that almost kind of sounds like a reinventment of the case we had last week.
I know, right? And when I read
it,
was like, "Oh my god!" But I'm not going to go into it too far. But it just really caught my attention today. I did pull it up on my tablet just so I could tell you a little bit about it. But as the case comes more to light, we may sometime in the future when it's all settled, do an episode
look into
on
it.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so that was what kind of startled me today. And that's going to be my recommendation is people look into that, because I'm sure they're going to be going to court sometime soon, and may they rot in hell for what they did to that poor little baby.
Yeah. And that's like right up the road too. I mean, that's just in Griffin.
Yeah,
it's far.
Right. It's like what, hour and a half, maybe? Maybe 2 hours. It's right below.
That's
right by Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. That's too close to home.
Exactly. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up a little bit. I haven't really watched any movies or anything like that this week. I watched a little bit of a documentary on something that you and I had discussed that you're going to be doing here in the near future, but we won't really get into that yet. We want to save that for when you get ready to do that case.
Yeah, no
So,
spoilers.
right, absolutely, no spoilers. But okay, so
Well,
this week it's you. So whenever you get ready, baby.
for today's episode, we're going to talk about Craig Sorger. Craig was born February 10th in 1990 in Ephrata, Washington.
I wondered how you were going to pronounce that.
I struggled with that. I literally had to Google to say how to pronounce it because I sound like cornbread, so I kept saying it totally wrong. So, but he it's a town of like 6,000 people, so it's a pretty small town. Sounds like a town that like everybody knows everybody, you know. He was with his mother, Lisa, his father, Chuck, and younger brother, Keith. He was really close with his family. He called his little brother his best friend. I mean, they were really close. He was an autistic teenager, developmentally challenged or disabled. He, partaked in special ed classes and everything. I watched the YouTube interview and it showed some like home videos of him and, autistic people, how they're just like really affectionate and everything. That's just what they showed. And it warmed my heart because it was just so sweet. But he was really fond of race cars and science, and he really loved video games. So they just described him as a bright, sweet, just adorable little boy. Now, I will go ahead and say that unfortunately, there was not so much information regarding what happened to Craig. But I will just kind of go into some details, and I will just kind of give like a little extra disclaimer because it is really sad and it hurts to hear. I mean, I was crying reading about it.
Well, anything that involves kids, so.
So, just a few days after Craig's 13th birthday, on February 15th of 2003, two 12-year-old boys, Evan Savoy and Jake Eakin, stopped by the Sorger residence and asked Craig's mother if he could go play with them. Now, Craig's mom did not really know these boys. She didn't recognize them or anything. But Keith, the younger brother, did. He recognized them. They'd played around with Craig before. Because apparently they all went to school together. They were in special ed classes together. From the linear, my rewind. From the little information I did find on Evan and Jake, showed the boys were pretty good. They were hardly ever in any trouble. They just, stuck to themselves. They were really close. They've been best friends together since they were two. So they. I mean, that's 10 years for them. That's a good little time for them. They were close and everything. They didn't get in any trouble, like I said. There no known issues of ever being violent. So, Craig's mother, she was kind of hesitant at first about letting Craig go play with these boys, but Craig had come around and saw them at the door and heard that they were asking for them to go play, and she saw the way that Craig lit up, and she was like, "Yeah, just go ahead, just please be back." And I think she said around an hour. That was kind of unclear, but pretty much don't be gone long. And she let them off. She had to go run some errands and everything. So just a few hours later, as night fell, Craig still had not returned home. Lisa knew something was wrong. After all, not knowing did Craig promise, but he was afraid of the dark. So there was no reason to be out so late. Lisa and the family immediately began searching the neighborhood, all while not knowing where Jake or Evan was, until Lisa, at one point in her search, found Evan and Jake at Evan's home. No sign of Craig. Now, more alarmed than ever, Lisa called 911 before she and her family resumed their search at the local RV park known as Oasis Park. Joining them at this point were Evan Savoy, his parents, and members of the Ephrata Police Department. I'm sorry, that word, it gets me stuck every time.
It's a tongue twister.
I look at it and it, I don't know. I look at it and it doesn't look like what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, however, it wasn't long before the search came to a tragic conclusion. So, discovered in a wooden enclave near a trail in the park was Craig's lifeless body. Now, I also read or saw in the YouTube interview that Lisa, when they found Craig's body, she just kind of laid her hand on him, touched him, and I'm sure it was probably more of like a frantic, you know, mother son moment.
I'd have been losing my shit at that point. So
she touched him and she said that he was still warm, that he hadn't been there long. And as soon as her son's body was located and caught sight of Evan, Lisa immediately pointed him out as being involved. Mm-hmm. Now at this point, you know, it's just one of those things that you know that the last time you just saw your little boy, he was with the one that's standing there, and you can't help but put those two and two together at that point, right? I mean,
sure.
The last time you saw him alive, he went with you.
Yeah, he went with that kid. Yeah.
My mind was racing. I'm not a mother as far as giving birth, but I am a stepmom.
Yeah.
And even that on its own is, I couldn't imagine that feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
Another thing to note at this time, the night in the search for Craig, Evan notably tried to steer police away from where they found Craig's body. So up until this point, he, even though they were in the park, he was trying to tell them to go a different direction. Mm. And the direction that they went in the opposite way, they found his body. So that was kind of suspicious. Just saying. So the two boys at this point were brought in for questioning. When police questioned Evan and Jake that night that Craig's body was found, they each had a similar story. They claimed that they had been climbing trees and playing tag until around 4:30 when they saw soldiers head home before changing their story, saying he fell from a tree. So in just that same night, they told police a couple of different stories, a couple of different scenarios of what had happened.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're 12 years old. You know, you got to give them at least a little something. They're kids. They might have seen something, didn't know how to reach out or act. You know, it's just, it's one of those things in this moment until they start looking further.
Right.
You don't really know what to think.
Sure.
So even though they told police that they saw Craig fell from a tree or whatever, police found no evidence that Sorter had fallen from a tree.
Yeah.
The autopsy actually revealed that Craig was bludgeoned and stabbed repeatedly, showing.
My God.
And this part was kind of inconsistent. I got a couple different ones. So I'm just going to say between 5 to 8 times in the chest and torso and 34 times in the head and neck.
Okay. So, at this point, I don't mean to interrupt. Whenever you said, this is one thing that really stuck out to me as well. Okay, the 5 to 8 times in the torso and chest. Okay, but 34 times, I mean, usually the only time you hear something like that is when it's like a passionate, like you got, right. Like something is almost like
anger,
a boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband.
You're fueled by something, kind of just, but you know what's crazy? There was really nothing. No reason.
I just don't understand that shit.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just mind blowing that this poor boy, just a few days after he turned 13, you know, I mean, he's a boy.
Yeah.
And nothing against him, but he's autistic. He didn't have a lot of friends. So surely, I mean, what wrong could he have caused?
Right.
He just, in those home videos, he just was sweet and loving and.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was a high functioning autistic child, right? I mean, he went to school. He was verbal, things like that. So, I mean, it's not as though, although he was probably age wise a little bit, challenged, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, he was just a boy. I mean, he didn't, it's not like he had done anything to those children to cause them to do that. Yeah.
Right. So Jake and Evan, both being 12 at the time, made an unlikely pair of persons of interest just from their age alone, which granted is fair. I mean, that would not be the first thing that occurred to my mind. I mean, they're 12 years old. I mean, there's a young girl here. She's 10. I mean, it's 2 years older than her. And that's just crazy to me to think.
It's hard to marry that together to understand how that is even in their minds or anything
at
like
that age.
Right,
right.
Right.
So by most accounts, both were students in special ed. Evan was popular and a class clown at school and was viewed as the leader in the duo's friendship. So
quick question. You said they're both in special education. So these two boys
are in special ed as well.
Evan and Jake are both? Really?
In special ed as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what I got off of that YouTube interview too was that according to Jake saw Evan as like his superior, like somebody he looked up to, you know, like he admired him and would, of course, just kind of follow in his footsteps.
Yeah.
Evan saw Jake as a step friend, is what he called him, not meaning anything other than he's a step below him. So, like, he wasn't as good as him, I guess.
They
It's
weren't on
just
equal
kind of,
footing. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, meanwhile, Jake was the target of bullying, mainly due to being small for his age. He could barely read and had an IQ of 83 and a severe learning disability.
Okay.
Which is probably why I'd assume that Evan saw him as, like, a lesser.
Right.
Just because Evan was popular.
Well, what was Evan's, I mean, what was his status as far as that's concerned? Did you find out anything? Did you find out anything about that?
It just said that he was really popular, you know, so I guess he must have had other friends, and just because Jake and him had been friends for so long, he probably just kind of kept that stashed, I guess, and just was like, okay, you know, but I don't know as
so,
far as what his IQ was or anything.
yeah, it's almost like, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way because I understand that they were in special ed and stuff like that, but it's almost like it was like Jake was his do boy, kind of sort of, because he knew he was going to follow him or whatever.
Right.
To
That's
do.
what I'm gathering as
Right.
far as at this point. You know, it just kind of sounds like Jake's more of a follower and Evan's more of like the leader type.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
So, and fun fact, Evan was the one that met Craig at school first and was also the one to introduce Craig to Jake. So, at this point, I'm assuming now, like I said, everything that I gathered, each article almost has something pretty similar, but also somehow different. So,
Yeah.
it's kind of hard to tell what the truth was and where the truth lies, you know, and this case just struck me so much, so I just had to go with it.
Absolutely.
But it's as if it was a target, right? It's almost as if this was like a plan for Evan, but maybe never was speaked about. He never said anything because it's like Evan was the one that met Craig first.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I wonder what it was about Craig that made Evan jealous, because that's how it sounds to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was it about him that made it to where he felt like he had to do something like this? You know?
Right.
I don't know.
So, in February of 2003, Evan and Jake were arrested and charged with first-degree murder and tried as adults. Especially considering all the evidence at this point that was piling up. They became the youngest to be tried as adults in the state of Washington since 1931.
Good
I mean,
Lord.
these are 12-year-old boys, you know,
Yeah.
and they're tried as adults for murder. I can't even fathom.
It's a lot, but I mean, after
They did
everything that
something
they,
really gruesome.
I mean, they did. And especially to a boy that really didn't and couldn't defend himself.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, it's crazy because they had never really been in any trouble before this.
Right. What happened? You know?
How do you go from just being a normal little kid to murder?
Yeah.
That's a huge step. I mean, whenever I read up about the other two, Evan and Jake, when I was reading up about them, there was no sign of anything like any torture to animals. Because usually, you know, you notice stuff like that at first.
Well,
If
I mean,
somebody's
there's
going
the
to go do
whole,
something crazy.
yeah, you know, and there's that whole McDonald triad where it's a animal abuse, wet in the bed, starting fires. You know what I'm
Nothing.
saying? Right.
There was no evidence of anything. They had acted fine in school as far like no fighting or anything. You know, Jake
Yeah.
was a victim of bullying, but it's not as if he was like actively fighting or
Well,
anything.
did it say anything about like what? Okay, so you said that Jake was the target of bullying or whatever. Was there any indication that Evan ever came to his defense or anything like that? No.
No, I'm not sure.
That's odd. I mean, just for him to like allow that to happen, especially because he's his buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you for sure. It's just kind of strange how, you know, Jake has just kind of followed in Evan's footsteps and everything. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wasn't 12, but I was definitely like, I don't know, 15 or 16 smoking cigarettes because all my friends were smoking cigarettes. I wanted to fit in and feel cool, you know.
No, girl, I was
But
12. I was 12.
yeah, I mean, I was,
So.
it was just like, you know, whenever you're friends with that crowd or that person or whatever, you know, you just kind of want to do things that make you feel like accepted by them, you know.
That's almost like going back to our case last week, the whole mob mentality thing. I
Yeah.
mean, in a smaller scale, but still, you want to be included in the group. You know what I
Right.
mean?
And that's
Yeah.
when I actually thought about that too, whenever I was doing the research, because I was just like, you know, just the way that they described Jake as being just a follower, just this person that looked up to Evan and admired him for some reason and just, I guess, wanted to be like him.
Sure.
So at this point, they're arrested and neither one of them had confessed at this point.
Okay.
We're sitting in jail. So after 26 months in jail while awaiting their trial, Jake actually confessed to his role in Craig's killing, but it took 26 months. It took just over 2 years before he finally confessed.
Yeah.
So after pleading to second degree murder by complicity, he also agreed to testify as a witness against Evan. So
Wow,
that's where it gets really interesting.
Right, because he'd been such a follower for so long, and then he's going to jump out there. You know he's had to have had some other kind of influence on him.
That probably came from a lawyer, if I had to guess. He
Or
probably was talking to, or, you know,
or
another
even his
influence.
parents, maybe.
But if I had to guess, especially given what's to come in the next few paragraphs that I have here, you know, if I had to guess, he was probably thinking, you know, maybe he wasn't as involved and maybe he felt like he didn't deserve a longer sentence just
Sure.
because he was involved. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well.
So in exchange for the guilty plea, Jake was initially going to receive 8 years in prison until the judge ruled that there were no mitigating factors to allow for such a sentence.
Yeah.
So instead, he was handed a sentence of 14 years. So, I mean, at this point, I don't really know what all evidence was there, what was apparent, but we do find that out when Jake does testify.
Okay.
Then came Evan's trial, during which his defense team suggested that two other people could be the real culprit. So his team was just trying to pin it on somebody else.
Right.
There was evidently a troubled juvenile. It's a 15-year-old named Cody Cook that the defense attempted to pin the murder on. However, Cook testified later that he secretly witnessed Jake and Evan doing the killing. So,
okay, well, I just did a cursory overview of this. I know nothing about this right here. Now I'm interested.
yeah.
Okay.
Right. They I guess during court, like I said, the defense team tried to pin it on another kid that was really troubled because of the fact that Evan and Jake just had no record of doing anything
Right.
that would define them as troubled. They weren't in any fights. They didn't even get bad grades. They were just
Right.
really good kids, you know.
So they were trying
So
to.
they tried to pin it on somebody else that had nothing to do with it and actually ended up saying that he was a witness to seeing them do the crime.
I have a question.
That's
How
crazy. Yes.
was he a witness? Are you getting to that? I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, actually, it didn't really go into detail as far as he goes. I'm assuming because this was like some kind of park where you just kind of play around at and everything. It must have been just some kind of popular area where the kids hung out at.
Okay. That's
So
valid.
he must have just been in the area, or he might have just been walking by or something. It really did not go into detail about that. I just got more so on Jake's testimony. But I will say that Evan received 26 years.
Just still doesn't sound like enough to me, especially as young as they are.
Yeah,
I
they're
mean, it
out
really
now.
doesn't. I know, and that's what I meant because, okay, so he was 12, spent tw twenty, did you say 27, 26 months? So that would have made him
Yeah,
14.
Jake was 20, yeah, 26
So
months. He
that would have
was
made him
12.
14 when he got convicted. He got 14 years. That's 28. Isn't that right? Is my math mathing?
Your math is
14 and
mathing.
14.
14 and 14.
That's 28, right?
Yes.
So he still got his whole life to live. I think that's unfair. But okay. Even if he didn't, he was a participant in some way whatsoever. It wasn't like he just stood there and watched. He did actually
Right. Yes.
participate. So I
Yes.
don't think it's fair, but and that's my opinion.
No, and especially getting to where they testified and actually said what all was done to Craig, you know.
Right.
I mean, we know that poor Craig was stabbed as much as he was, but it's just so much deeper than that. Wearing handcuffs, eyeglasses, and slicked back shoulder length hair, which I saw a lot of pictures of him there. You just look at him like, how could somebody like this do something so sinister? Jake trembled at times as he described from the witness stand the rainy day he and Savoy went to the park to play. At one point, Savoy pulled a knife out of his pocket and told Jake he wanted to go on a killing spree. And that was just happened to be that day that they went to ask Craig to go play. So Craig never, from what his mom has said, he never had any friends come over and want him to go play with him. That was the first time ever. And it just happened to be with the wrong kids.
I couldn't imagine her. Well, I just smacked into the microphone. That sounded loud. I couldn't imagine her. I won't say survivor's guilt, but just the guilt that she must feel because this was the first time she had actually let him go with some boys because he hadn't had any friends or anything like that. And not that it's her fault, not at all, 100%, because all she did was want to be able to allow her child to play with some other children. But still, I could not imagine
The
how she
guilt,
carries that.
the feeling of just being overwhelmed with, had he just stayed home, this wouldn't have happened, you know, and that's, I couldn't imagine that
No,
feeling,
because all
you
she
know.
did was be a mom. She was just trying to allow him to do the things that other normal children did,
Do.
just to have some, just to have some time with his friends,
Yeah.
any friends, So, yeah.
I know, and it's sad to think, you know, and especially when they found his body, he was still warm. That really struck me because that just means that it just happened.
I mean, I don't know what time of year it was or any, what time do we know?
February.
February. Well, then, yeah. And they're in Washington. It's got to be cold up there.
Cold
So apparently it had not been very long at
at
all.
all.
So, yeah, that's so sad.
So Jake said they roamed the park playing near a canal for several minutes before stopping to build a fort in a wooded area. So it just kind of sounds like they were looking for the right place to commit the crime. Jake recalled several times Sorger tried to get away, crying out, "Why are you doing this to me?" but Evan repeatedly pulled him back to the ground and continued striking him. Jake said he didn't see anything in Savoy's hand, but saw blood coming out from Soldier's neck as the boy cried out. Now, see, here is where it kind of gets a little tricky, because I don't know exactly what order he said those two in. But originally he said he saw Savoy pull a knife out of his pocket and said he wanted to go on a killing spree. But then at this point he says that he said, I didn't see anything in his hand. I just saw blood, you know? So I don't know if maybe, obviously we'll never know the truth of as far as what happened.
Yeah.
You know, but I just wonder if maybe he was like, if he's watching this happen and it's happening so fast that he just didn't see it in his hand while the attack is happening, you know, or if he just actually was a part of all of it and maybe, you know, something a lot worse was going on, like he was holding Soldier down, or, you know, we'll just never know what really was going on in this moment.
Right. I have a quick question. In some of the research that I had done, I don't mean to jump ahead, you might be going to include this, I'm not sure, but it said something about the way that it started was that Evan had asked Craig to reach down and see if their ground was wet, and that he hit him with a rock. Is that right?
Yeah. That was later in his testimony whenever said,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. No. And that's even worse for me. But this was just in the middle of how he was speaking about the attack and everything, and how he's talking about he hears him crying out, you know, and in this moment, you would just think like, God, somebody just saved this poor child.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sitting there and you're conscious enough to speak all of this, and maybe you feel bad, I don't know. I don't know how he felt in this moment when he's testifying against his friend, but.
And this is Jake, right?
Jake.
Yeah.
I know that's why I kept it as Jake and Evan, because their last names got so confusing for me.
Right. I was just making sure I was with you.
But I just wonder, like, at any point, did he ever think maybe he should stop his friend?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yes, Jake did testify and told the court that Evan asked Soldier to get on your knees, feel the ground to see if it was wet, and count to 10. While Soldier was on his knees, when Craig got to 9, Evan dropped a rock the size of a basketball on his neck.
Good Lord.
And I kind of stopped to really think about that, though, because this is a 13-year-old boy. And I just think if a size of a rock the size of a basketball was to drop on his neck, I feel like that would crush his neck.
You would think so, right?
And not only just that, but I don't know if, I mean, and I only look at these boys because, I mean, they're boys. They're 12 years old. I mean, they're not supposed to be super strong or anything, you know, but
yeah,
you're picking up a rock that big.
That's a lot. I mean, it's pretty
heavy. I feel like that might have been an exaggeration. I don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
But the size of a basketball, that's a lot of mass, because a
it
rock
is.
Is solid.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, I feel like that would have crushed that poor little boy's neck, and none of this other stuff would have happened. But again, like I said, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well,
and
we only know the stories from Jake and Evan, so it's not like we can have some kind of outside information or anything like that. So yeah.
Exactly. And even so, had that rock been that size, he also says that Evan was on Craig, like on his knees over Craig, stabbing him and beating him and bludgeoning him.
Yeah.
So again, Greg's on his knees, counting, feeling if the ground's wet. They drop the rock, so I'm assuming it's on the back of his neck. Like that, none of that was really adding up for me. Because this was all in a short time span.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it was only about an hour or so.
Right.
That
I mean, it had
all,
to be
all
pretty
of the
quickly.
Attack went on. Right.
Yeah, it had to be pretty quickly before his mom was alarmed as far as him being gone too long. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, because she said she started to get kind of worried around like 6:30 when the sun had started to go down and Craig was not home.
Right.
And he's scared of the dark.
Right.
It actually might have been a little bit before then. It was this February and it's in Washington. It might have started to get dark a little sooner than that.
Right.
So it's just, there's so many things with this that just doesn't add up because they're young. I'm sure they're fragile. I mean, they're not fully developed yet. So there's just a lot there. But the attack lasted only minutes, after which Sorja remained motionless on the ground. Jake then recounted how he picked up a stick and began hitting Craig in the head and legs more than 20 times before throwing the stick to the ground. And everything that I've read about this case thus far tells me that that happened post-mortem.
So after he was dead.
Yeah. That he beat this boy.
So that would indicate that the rock probably did a good bit more damage than they even realized, don't you think?
I'm assuming that where they got the bludgeon from, there must have been damage. And I don't know if Craig was still conscious enough when, because he had to have been flipped over with his face up, because they stabbed him in his head, neck, and chest and torso, you know, all together. Yeah. So, you know, I don't really believe either one of these boys, to be honest. I mean, some of what they've said had happened, but it's just like, it sounds to me like Jake was just trying to pin it all on Evan to maybe get out of it, or maybe he really didn't have any part of it. You know, it's just kind of hard to say because they've changed their story so many times.
Yeah. And all we can do is give the information that was told, because it's like I said a while ago, we really don't know one way or the other. All we're doing is listening to 12-year-old boys who are trying to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of all the attack and everything, Jake said that Evan came up to him after the attack was over. He did not say anything. He just went up to Jake and shook his hand.
Get the fuck out of here.
I just was so disgusted. I mean, how, I understand that, like, you have to tell a story when you're up there on the stand, especially testifying and everything, but it just felt, you know, like that was just, you just took a person's life.
Yeah.
And showed absolutely no remorse by shaking your hand, because it's, whenever I shake someone's hand, it's out of respect, or,
right,
you know, introducing myself, and it's the proper thing to do, but not after you just bludgeoned your friend.
Bludgeoned, stabbed.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, it was just, my heart aches.
Absolutely.
So after the attack, Evan threw something in the pond, then washed his clothes and his hands, face, his hair, all in the pond. He said that Evan left a shirt and sweatshirt in the pond. Jake said that. So I guess he was just trying to, you know, get rid of evidence.
Clean the blood off of him. Yeah.
Yeah. We just came up with a plan that we would tell police we were playing football and that Craig went home. So when all of this was said and done, everything was over, they came up with a plan to try to get police off of their back, basically.
Yeah.
So that is probably why, instead of getting 8 years, he got 14.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's a pretty intelligent and grown up way to go with the situation. To be
honest, Jake was the one that was 83, I think 82, 83 IQ.
Right. I mean, that's a lot for him to remember. First off, no, I mean, I'm not being ugly about it or anything, but that's a lot for him to remember and to retell in court. But to not actually say that he was a main part of it, more or less trying to push it off on Evan and, you know, testify against Evan. and everything. That's suspect to me. Just, I
Yes.
mean, I know they're children, but it's still suspect to me.
Right. Well, you know, and we don't have to go into any details at all, you know, but going through something really tragic and traumatizing and just something that just feels like you can't even believe is happening.
Right.
Trust me, I've been there.
I know.
And you, even in the moment, 10 minutes later, you're going to say some things because you think you saw it happen, but it's so fast. And the way that trauma works
Yep.
is you, it's not that you forget things that happen. It's more or less you can't really recall
There's
the
just so
play by
much going
play.
on, right? There's just so much going on at that particular moment in time. It's hard for
Right.
your brain to process it,
And you're not
right?
going to remember every little detail.
No,
And
you'll be
this was a
remembering
lot of
things.
detail.
Yeah, you'll be remembering things. Things will could be coming back to you months, even years later.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Yep. So the defense attorney, Randy Smith, actually questioned Jake for 40 minutes. So he was on the stand for 40 minutes. That's kind
That's
of
a
a
lot
long
for a
time.
child. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. In 2004, a plea deal was mentioned. Jake altered his account, saying he had stepped away to buy a soda and returned to see Evan attacking Craig. So there again, he just said all of this information, everything I said in the last 10 or 15 minutes has been what Jake has told the court.
And now he was buying a drink.
And then a year later, he says that he was buying a drink somewhere and came back, and then Evan was all of a sudden attacking Craig. So there again, I it's so hard to piece together the puzzle here.
Yeah.
Because if you look up Craig Sorger, you'll find, you know, a little bit of information about him, but there's not a lot.
No, there's not.
And it's so sad because this boy didn't even get a chance to live his life. He didn't get a chance to do anything
Right.
that normal teenagers do or adults do, or he doesn't know. He didn't even have a chance to have any friends,
Right.
you know, and
The first time he had tried to have any, this is what happens.
exactly. So, I mean, it's just really, really tragic. And just, I'm disgusted that a child could do this to another child. And quite honestly, the real irony of it all is Jake Eakin is an anti-abortionist now. Today.
I read that. Yeah.
And I'm all for somebody turning their life around because, hey, look, I've been there. We've all been there. We've all done something we weren't proud of and we wanted to change and made the change ourselves.
Yeah.
But quite honestly, I can't believe anything that comes from a mouth of somebody that killed a boy and now you're all of a sudden an anti-abortionist.
Well, I mean, I applaud what he's trying to do nowadays, but it doesn't take away from what he did previously. And does he still go by his name? Did he change his name? Do we know?
You know, I Googled him and it came up that he was an anti-abortionist, but I could not find if he changed his name. I think he's still going by Jake Eakin.
And that's really ballsy, if you ask me, because I understand that. I mean, God, I don't even know how old they are now because I don't math. I don't math. So, but now he's a anti-abortionist, proactive, blah, 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 whatever the fuck he is. And I get that he's trying to do good things, I guess, question mark, but still it didn't take away what you did when you were a kid. It just
Right.
doesn't. Even though you got less time than the other guy, I think you told the story good enough to where you didn't get the same time, is my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I feel like even if, say, we do believe him and say that he was just like a bystander, just watching it all happen, and then was trying to follow in Evan's footsteps and be like, yeah, you know, I did something.
Or even
I
if he
mean,
was, or even if he was in this situation to where, say, Evan started doing this kind of thing, and maybe Evan threatened him a little bit because Evan was more of a leader-ish, and I'm doing quotation marks. I know you guys can't see me, but I'm doing quotations when I say leader. And Jake was more of a follower, so maybe he felt maybe threatened in some way or whatever. Maybe he felt like he had to do it because he saw that Eben was doing what he was doing, and he didn't want that to come back on him. I mean, I don't know. This is all speculation because we really don't know what happened at that particular point in time. I mean, anything could have been, it could have been in any situation, you know?
Yeah. You know, and say that we do believe him. I mean,
doesn't take away what he did.
It doesn't. I mean, he still did the things that he did. He still partaked in it. He was still there. And from what I know and from what I can tell is that when Eben said or made the comment that he wanted to go like on a murder spree that day, that was before they ever went to Craig's house. So with that in the back of your mind, if I had a friend, now I don't care how old or young I am, if they come up to me and they say they want to go on a murder spree, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna call the mental institution for you. Because something's not right. I'm telling a parent. I'm telling a somebody, but that's just how I was raised.
Yeah. Well, you know. And I'm gonna be like, all right, bro. Well, knock yourself out. I got shit to do. You know what I mean? I'm not fixing to accompany you. Okay.
Right.
Because I'm not gonna be a part of none of this. Okay.
You're making a huge mistake, and I don't want any part of it.
Right. Exactly.
But I mean, he had a lower IQ. But I mean,
and a lower self-esteem, if we're to understand everything that we heard correctly.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, again, it goes with that persona of I want to be like him. I want to follow in his footsteps. I admire him. You know,
I want to be included.
Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like, well, okay. I don't know. It's just, and who knows, for all we know. Even though Jake had the lower IQ and Eben was more of like the strong suit of the dynamic duo.
Sure.
He might have had a lot of part in it too, as far as coming up with the plan and figuring it out. Maybe they thought that Craig would be their target. I don't know if it was planned. I don't know if, you know,
we have no idea.
Off.
Yeah, we have no idea how much participation he actually gave to this, because all we know is what the stories that they told. So
and again, like you said, he probably just could have been painting the picture to point all the evidence and everything towards Eben,
right?
You know, so it's just kind of like an opinion thing until if we were to ever hear another side of the story.
Oh yeah, you know we won't, because they're both out now living their own lives, where Craig can't. So
But that wraps up the little information I had about poor Craig Sorger.
Well, did you hear anything? So whenever Eben was testifying in court, did he testify? Did he say anything, or is it just
I'm sure he had something to say, you know.
But there isn't any information out there about it?
As far as like his side of the story.
Yeah.
Not really. Okay. I mean, not after they said something about trying to paint it on that other boy that was apparently a juvenile and had been in a lot of trouble and everything.
Yeah.
So
they weren't trying to bring him to the forefront as far as, they did pin it on him pretty much after they couldn't do it on the boy's name was Cody. Is that right?
Cody. That's right. I mean, and plus after hearing Jake, and seeing all, they found all of that, the sweatshirt and shirt, it was just kind of washed up.
Okay.
I mean, it really was kind of like a no-brainer at that point.
Right.
They were like, yeah, he definitely did it. And especially considering that within the small time frame, those were the last ones to see Craig alive.
And then Craig was warm whenever they found him. So
And it's just, there's just so much that pointed negatively against them that they couldn't talk themselves out of it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Well, our hearts go out to Craig, his family. I mean, really, it was a senseless crime.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100% a senseless crime. So my heart goes out to his family.
For sure. For sure.
All right. Well, that was a great job. That was a good case. I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, me either.
When I first looked it up, how'd you find it?
Actually, I think I found that one on TikTok. I follow a
Okay.
couple of little true crime ones on there, and sometimes they just kind of catch me off guard whenever I'm scrolling through. And it's just, it'll say, like, imagine being murdered by people you thought were your friends. And I was like, interesting. So I'll watch it.
Yeah.
So I started looking a little bit more into it.
Yeah, I found a lot of good information and stuff like that on TikTok. excuse me. I've seen several really interesting cases that I have heard a little bit about before. Excuse me. And so TikTok is a really good source for me as well. But I next week I'm going to do a survivor story because
Oh, yeah.
our cases the last couple of weeks have been really, really heavy. So I've got this one that ever since I heard it for the first time, I'm not going to tell y'all who it is because I want y'all to be surprised, but it is a survivor story and I'm really excited to be able
Yeah.
to tell y'all about it. So it's going to be a little bit lighter next week. So we can have maybe a little bit of palate cleanser or whatever
Yeah.
before we get into Shelby's case. I don't know if you're going to do the one we've been talking about next or if it's going to be a little bit because I know you got a lot more research that you want to do. But
Yeah, stay tuned.
just as the interim, next week, since it's my turn, I think I'm going to do a little bit of a survivor story. I got something that's really been speaking to me. So that's what I'm
Awesome.
looking for next week.
Awesome.
So,
Well,
yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I hadn't even told you about it yet, so
No.
but okay, so that was a great job, baby. It was a really
Awesome.
good
Thanks.
episode. So I think that's all.
Yeah, I'm
Thank you
good.
guys so much for listening. Please go and like, subscribe, do all
Tell
the
your
things.
friends.
Yes, tell your friends, please. We're going to try to be a little bit more active on our Facebook group. Please go and look on Murders and Monsters on Facebook. We have a group there, so we'd love for you guys to come and participate. So let us know if you have. Oh, I was going to say something.
Yeah.
Listener stories. I would love to have people write in, and maybe like once a month, we'll set a little bit
Yes.
aside. A little bit of time aside, excuse me, to read some of you guys' stories, and we will tag y'all. We will tell your names, whatever, or we'll leave y'all anonymous if you'd rather
Yeah.
have it be
Oh,
that way.
yeah. I
But
love it.
write us in some listener stories and stuff like that. We would love to be able to tell you guys stories on here. But we just want to say thank you for the support, and please stick with us. We are making big strides, and we love y'all. So. I guess we'll talk to y'all next week. If at first you don't succeed,
It's only attempted murder.
love you guys. Okay, bye.
Bye.